Again, it's good to see everybody this morning. You kiddos, anybody get a rabbit in their Easter thing this morning? A cross? Did you? Was it hollow? Was it full? You don't know yet. Well, I'll try it for you. So many times, folks, as we are kids and we deal with the Easter bunny and the many things of hiding Easter eggs and the many things that we come to do and to know and enjoy with our kids, we do know that as we take a hold of a bunny that we get today, not when I was a kid, they were solid, but today when you get a bunny and you bite into it, it's hollow sometimes, and depends on what kind of bunny it is, I guess, but you bite into this bunny and it's empty inside. You just got just a housing of a bunny. And so that's where we're at this morning. We have a empty grave, folks. He is risen and he is alive. And I hope this morning that each and every one of us know and realize that this bunny is fake. This bunny will, you can eat it up and me and another kid could eat one together just like that. But the grave is real. The grave is empty, but it is real. As we come this morning, we kind of been looking at Joseph, and we've been looking at how the Israelites have been in captivity in the wilderness. And we know that Joseph, as we kind of look at this story this morning, we'll reflect back on Joseph's life just a little bit. We know that they were in the wilderness. They had been in the wilderness for quite some time. And we know as it had come to be the time for them to come out of the wilderness, we stop and we think about Jesus' life. And in Jesus' 30 years of here on this earth, a lot of his time was in the wilderness. But a lot of his time was in a garden. And today we come to the garden. And today we come to the empty tomb. Today we come to the where he died for our sin. And he died that we can have eternal life, folks. But we're going to take a look this morning and we're going to know and realize one thing. And I want you to think about this. We all are appointed once to die. As Brother Randy, as Brian's always saying, Brother Randy always says, we're all appointed once to die. We're going to have an appointment one day. But you know what? The good thing is we're not dying. We go to the grave to get to Jesus. He went to the grave to get to the Father. So we got to stop and think about this as we look at this scripture this morning in John 20, 1 through 18. And we'll talk about it. It says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb, and they were both running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrapping lying there. But he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. And he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that they had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they've put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked. "Why are you looking? Who are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So much in this scripture reading, folks. I think we could do a month-long series on this one chapter alone. So we have to just kind of touch on what's here this morning. So we stop and we think about this early Sunday morning. This morning I was up before daylight and I was sitting there in my chair studying, reading my Bible. And as the sun and the daylight broke, the light broke and you began to see light, I had to just stop and think about Mary and how her and maybe the other women went to the tomb that morning to basically embalm the body where it would not smell, where it would be taken care of. And so as they went to the tomb early that morning, they get to the tomb and it says they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And she ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Really? They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and they don't know where they put him? Folks, I want you to stop a minute. I want you to ask yourselves some questions this morning. You are a child of God. You are a disciple of Christ. You're in His Word every Sunday. You're in His Word at home, I hope. You're in His Word not only at church, but at home and in your small groups and in the things that you do each week. They are disciples of Christ. Mary had been with Jesus almost any time that He was available in the community. She hung out with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus, and she knew Jesus had taken 7 demons out of her. She knew Jesus. She knew Jesus probably better than any of us do. And she says, "They have taken, rolled the stone away and taken his body." Well, the Bible tells us in some of the other Gospels that there was a great earthquake. You think that morning that she was going to the tomb and she felt this great earthquake come? You don't think she thought, "This is the Lord. This is God coming to rescue His Son. He told us He would rise on the third day." You don't think she had those thoughts? Would you have had those thoughts? When you got to the tomb, would the first thing would have hit you that somebody stole the body? It should have been the first thing you thought was that it is the third day and He is risen from the grave just as He said that He would. He told us, folks. He told every one of us that He would rise from the dead on the third day. The disciples, they're like a whole lot of us, a whole lot of me anyway. I talk about Mike. I ain't talking about you. I talk about Mike. They didn't pay a lot of attention, did they? No, they done what they wanted to do. They heard what they wanted to hear. They didn't hear what they needed to be listening to. And so we see that the tomb is empty and they've stolen His body. No, they haven't. And they should have known this, just as we as Christians today should know that the tomb is empty and no one has stole it. It is God that has brought His Son back to life. So we see that Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They started running. And I've got a picture over my fireplace that shows the other disciple and Peter running toward the tomb. And it's really cool because you can sit there and look at that picture and imagine how they must have been feeling and what they must have been discussing as they were running that direction. But John, being younger than Peter, he outran Peter. He got there before Peter did. Folks, so many times we as Christians, we want to serve God. We want to know God. We want to have a better relationship with God. But he gives us all different, he just gives us different things to work with. He gives each one of us something different. And we have to use that gift that he gives us to work with. Now, I can't sing, but Brian can. Brian can work with singing. I can't. I can't help it. I can't work with that. I got to go figure out some other kind of way to do it. So, see, we're different. We're all different. So John gets there first. John has gotten to the tomb, and when he gets there, what does he do? He stoops down, and he looks. And he says, you know, I see the clothing. I see everything, but Peter, he's coming. Peter's right behind me. I'm going to wait for him, see what he thinks about this deal. And what happens when Peter gets there? He stoops down and goes in. You see the different gifts, folks? John was young. Peter was older. John was a younger man that hadn't fully developed yet, most likely. Peter was a big old rough, tough guy. Peter says, you know what? This grave don't scare me. If that door's open, I'm going in there and see what's going on. John, he's like, I don't know. I'm going to wait for you, Peter, when you get in there and look around. And if everything looks okay, I'll come in. And that's what they done. But you see when they went in, and the grave clothes were laying there, folks. The grave clothes were there just perfectly folded and laid here. And the handkerchief was laid over to the side. And it was a custom at that time at any meal, Jewish meal, that when you got through, you folded the handkerchief, the cloth that you had for a napkin. If you weren't through with your meal, you would fold it and lay it. If you were through, you'd wipe your hands and throw it down, and you were done. And it was folded and laid over to the side, a custom that they were used to. We're not done here, folks. The grave clothes are left in the grave. If you stop and you think about Jesus and you think about Lazarus and you think about when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day, and he raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus come out of that grave with his grave clothes on. Why would he have come out of that grave with his grave clothes on? And why would Jesus have taken his off and left him in there? You ever think about this? Because Lazarus was going to need them grave clothes again. He wasn't going to live forever like Jesus was. He was going to back to the grave at some point. Jesus was done. He was going to be with the Father. The grave did not hold him in any form. He had no ties to that grave whatsoever. And so it tells us that he came out, but the clothes were laying inside. Now, it doesn't tell us how he was dressed, but it does tell us that when he ascends, he's going to be in a glory. He's going to be in a heavenly glory, and I assume he's going to be dressed in white. And I know the play that I saw one time, he was dressed in white, and I assume that's the way it's going to be, pure as he can be, to go back to the Father. So we see that the disciples, Peter and John, what'd they say they done? They went home. Why in the world would you go home? If you got an empty grave here and you don't know what's happened to the body in this grave, why would you just go home? I question that pretty much. What in the world are they thinking about? Mary, she's willing to stay. I know one time, if you're over in LBL or Katy's, y'all have heard me tell this story, I know. But if you're over there, you'll find an old cemetery. Just here, there'll be an old cemetery there. A lot of them are marked. But if you're out roaming around, you'll find a lot that's not marked. Trigg County, there's a lot of cemeteries that aren't marked. But there's one over there, an old one, that we were working over by one day. And so this guy that was working with me, he was scared of his own shadow. And he came flying in there, and he said, Mike, you ain't going to believe it. Somebody dug up a grave, and they got the casket sitting up here on the side of the road. I said, do what? And he said, yeah. I said, where's it at? He told me, out of that old cemetery up here. I said, dude, I said, that's not right. I said, if that casket would have done been gone, you would have had nothing but a pile of bones. Was it there? He said, no, it's a casket there. I said, well, that's kind of funny, but anyway, I'll go see. I said, get in the truck with me. Let's go see. I don't really want to go back up there and look. I said, well, get in the truck. Let's go see. And we got in the truck in the pickup, and we went back up to there about a couple of miles up there on an old road. And sure enough, when I drove up there, I'm thinking, you know, this don't look right at all. There's a hole in the ground. I can see the dirt. This is an old cemetery. Ain't nobody been buried in this cemetery forever. And there was a hole in the ground, and there was what appeared to be a casket. And I'm thinking, And I got up there, and I got out of the truck, and I started walking over, and I said, well, Lord have mercy. That's a vault that they do in Kentucky. They put a floor in the grave, and they set the vault down on top of the floor, and it seals. And it looks like a casket. And I got up there, and I told that boy, I said, dude, I said, that's a vault. They fixing to have a burying. There's some old person has died that wanted to be buried in this cemetery. But it appeared to be a grave that was empty. It appeared to be a grave that had been abandoned. And the first thoughts that I had, that's what has happened here. Maybe the Lord has come back. And I didn't know about it, you know, because back then I wouldn't have known about it. He would have come, but I would not have been involved in any of that. But I'm thinking that might be what's already happened here. So we see that Mary, even though she didn't know or understand what was going on, and even though she should, she stayed at the tomb. Folks, we didn't have cell phones. They didn't have a telephone, period. They didn't have any way to communicate. And her thought was, if I'm going to communicate with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I need to stay right where we put him. I will hear from him. I need to stay as close to this tomb as I can. And so we know that the other disciples had done gone home, and Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in, and she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. Now let's stop right there for just a moment and look at this. She's staying at the tomb. She's outside the tomb. She's crying. She's wondering. And she finally decides that I will go. The guys have done been in the tomb. I will go and look in the tomb. And she goes and she stoops down and she looks in the tomb. And this is when she sees the angels. Folks, I want you to know one thing. Jesus Christ offers a relationship to each and every one of us. He offers this relationship to us no differently. It's offered to everyone. But the one thing you will do and you need to do, and you will, if you have a relationship with him, is you will come to him on your knees at some time. You will stoop down and get in this tomb. You will stoop down to the Lord. You will not stand and be almighty. You will not stand and be something that you are not. You will have to stoop down to be in the presence of God. I think we sometimes don't realize that. I think we, in our own mind, we have a picture in our mind that we are all, I'm good financially, I'm good with the community, I'm a good leader in the community, I'm this, I'm that, and yeah, someday I'm going to die, Mike, and I know the Lord's got me taken care of, I done made arrangements for that, but I'm not stooping down. I'm not looking in no tomb the Lord come out of. I'm not going to stoop to him in any kind of way. I'll just die and then I'll be fine. I'll be in heaven. It don't work that way, folks. I hate to tell you, but it don't work that way. If you have that relationship with the Lord that He tells you about, you will stoop to Him. Whether it be on your knees, or if you can't get on your knees, you will bow. Every head shall bow. Every head shall bow. He tells us each and everything that we need to know. He tells us about this empty grave. Yet, they had trouble recognizing what was going on. And the angel spoke to Mary, and they were probably sitting one on one end and one on the other. I can just imagine this in my head because I got a big imagination, you know. But I can see one sitting on a concrete slab like this table, one here and one there. And I can just see Mary stooping and look coming in that little entrance. And I can see those angels speaking to her. And then as they spoke to her, can't you just see this? They get up off of that table, off of that ledge. They stand up. Why? Because Christ is behind Mary. Christ is in their presence. They stand up because they're in the presence of the Lord. Can't you just see this? And Mary turns around because they've stood up and are looking. She turns around to see what they're looking at. And she thinks it's a gardener. And she speaks to him. She didn't recognize Jesus. She didn't recognize Jesus' voice. Throughout this series that we've been talking about Joseph and then about the Israelites being in the wilderness. What happened with Joseph, folks? You've been here, you've heard this series, you've heard the Bible story. Joseph, he had become not the king, but the governor, kind of Egypt. And he had control of all the food. He had control of most everything. And his brothers come to him. His brothers had sold him into slavery. His brothers didn't show any love toward him at all. And when their brothers come to Joseph, what did Joseph say? I feel that he spoke in a little rougher voice. And he said to them, men, you want something to eat, then you need to get in line and come and talk to me about it. And I feel that Jesus spoke to Mary in a little different voice. And he said, if you want something, you need to come to me. You need to tell me, Mary, what you want. And when Joseph spoke to the guys about the food, and he told them, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. And the guys, his brothers, couldn't believe that was Joseph that they had sold into slavery. They couldn't believe that they were standing in front of the one that had control of all the food, had control of everything. And it was the brother that they had hoped that they had killed or hoped that he was totally done away with. But it wasn't. It wasn't that he was gone. It was him. And here we see Jesus speaking to Mary. And he says, Mary, he said, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Are you looking for the gardener? Who are you looking for? And she thought he was the gardener. And sir, she said, where have you taken him away? Tell me. Where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said, and she turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is meaning teacher. And he told her, he said, don't cling to me, for I haven't ascended to the Father, but go and find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Go and tell them. Folks, here we see that He is telling Mary for the first time to go and tell the disciples that I am ascending to my God and your God. For the first time, he had called them friends. He had called them every other kind of name that you do with buddies. He had shared that with them, but he had never said that it's your God and my God. For the first time, he's telling them, I'm ascending to the one that is your God and my God. And she went and told them the message. What does he ask us to do, folks, this Easter as we serve a risen Savior? What does he ask us? Go and tell. Go and share. Go and care for others. Is that what he asks us to do? Sure it is. How many of us want to do that? How many want to go and tell someone about Christ this afternoon? Well, I got a ham to eat before I can go do that. I got a bunch of eggs that's, you know, all done up real pretty, and I need to eat them. I understand. But how many of us really want to go and share what Jesus Christ has done? How many of us want to go and tell others that there's an empty tomb and he hasn't been robbed? He hasn't been taken away. God raised him from the dead. He has prepared for us. That's why we go through the grave just as Jesus did. So we will be raised. He tells us he will raise us from the dead as well. Folks, this is as real and as serious as anything that I could ever tell you. This is the most serious thing that ever was. That we come to church on Sunday morning. We come to church on Easter morning more. We come to church at Christmas more. But I'm here to tell you, this is for real. If we do not know and we do not recognize Jesus Christ as Mary didn't, and even when he speaks to us, we do not recognize him. If we do not recognize him, then we may not get to spend eternity with him. Because he tells us there's two places that you can spend eternity. Heaven and hell. So folks, I ask you this morning, as we take a look at this, the end of this scripture, it says, she went and found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. I have seen the Lord. If somebody come to you this afternoon and said, I have seen the Lord, what would you say? Mike, I mean, I believe most stuff you tell me, but you ain't seen the Lord. I guarantee you, dude. That didn't happen. Well, maybe it hadn't happened this afternoon, but it will happen one day. And I hope that when you see me going to the grave, that you will know that I'm going to the grave. This old body here is going to the grave. But that's all that's going to the grave. As me and Irvin's talking this morning, when people die, they say, oh, he looks so good. No, he don't. He dead. That's a lie. You walk right up there and tell a lie first thing. Because ain't nobody look good that's dead. Now, they do look, some look better than others, but they don't look good. That's just the way it is. So we have to stop and ask ourselves, folks, when we go and tell others that we've seen the Lord, we can't say that we have today. But let me tell you about the Lord that I serve. Let me tell you about the Lord that I know. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. We serve a risen Savior. And I want every one of y'all to know that. We serve a risen Savior that is as much for you as it is for the one sitting next to you. As much for you as it is for me. As it is for Brian. As it is for Chad. We serve a risen Savior. And folks, he died for you. And he died for me. That we can have eternal life with him. So he is alive, very much so. Do you want to spend the rest of your life, your eternal life? Is what I'm talking about. This life here is short. It may end today. There's nothing guaranteed about this deal. But that deal is for real. And it is for eternity. I hope today, if you haven't ever heard about the Word of God, if you hadn't heard about your salvation being available to you, I hope today you come and accept it. Accept him. And I hope today that you have eternal life with all of his adopted children. Let him call you an adopted child. Let him be your heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.